Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. In just a few minutes, we'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named L.C. Vincent, who's written a really interesting book called The 440 Enigma. Frankly, I didn't know anything about this until I ran across Mr. Vincent's work, and I'm so happy he could come on the air today. Just a couple of quick announcements before we start. I couldn't help but overhear the news about the Zika virus and how now it's in over 30 countries. Well, I ran across some interesting things about the Zika virus yesterday, and one of them is that it originally it's patented by the Rockefeller Foundation, and according to this article on the internet, which I will post on my website over the weekend, Zika virus research and its spread by mosquitoes was funded by Bill Gates of Microsoft Corporation. And it's shocking, but this will be for another program. And with that, I'd love to bring on Mr. Vincent. Lauren, how are you doing there?
I'm doing fine, Dad. How are you?
Oh, good. It's so good to have you on today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being with you.
Well, a few things I want to pose here. Despite its near universal adoption by the Western world, could this 440 hertz tuning standard in the United States and elsewhere actually promote war, disease, and death? Might the most beautiful symphonies and melodies of the music world be covertly creating conflict and disharmony throughout the world? Your book, The 440 Enigma, I think is a classic, and I'm just so happy to have you on today. Welcome to the show.
Well, Ted, thank you very much. As I said, it really is a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. And I have to tell you, you said something in your opening introduction that really really intrigued me, because the Rockefeller Foundation is highlighted in the book that I wrote as being one of the principal subversive elements behind the establishment of the 440 hertz tuning standards. They actually were very instrumental, ironically, in pushing that standard at the turn of the last century.
Really?
it's amazing. And it's all documented, too.
Well, this...
No, go ahead.
You're triggering so many things in me as you speak that... it's just fascinating, but what you're saying, there was a report on the Rockefeller Foundation and their propagation of the 440 hertz standard for the world, but that report has disappeared off the web. I found it and looked at it, and then went back to find it again, and it's completely gone.
It's gone, huh?
Mm-hmm, it's gone now. Mm-hmm, not on the web anymore. So,
very interesting. Well, I do have documentation on it. Some of it's in my book, and actually I found more of it after I wrote the book, which goes into all the lurid details of it.
Interesting.
But even without going into those details, just the general outline of how it all happened is fascinating, which we'll go into probably later during our discussion, but we probably should start from the very beginning.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say real quick that some of the research that I did this week is that a 440 hertz frequency conflicts with human energy centers, that is chakras, from the heart all the way down to the base of the spine, because it's not a natural standard. And in comparison, music based on a 432 hertz transmits beneficial healing energy because it's a pure tone, they say, of math fundamental to nature. And with that, I'd love to know, how did you ever get interested in this subject, by the way?
Well, that's a great question, Ted, and it's really curious because it almost seemed like I was born to explore this subject.
Mm-hmm.
The way it happened was this. I think it was about 15 years ago, I was living in San Francisco, and I would go to the San Francisco Symphony and listen to the orchestra. And
wonderful.
As I would do this on their occasions of their concerts, mm-hmm. the thought occurred to me that I just wondered how the music world ever determined and ever settled upon any tuning frequency or any specific tuning frequency mm-hmm. by which to tune all the instruments in the orchestra.
Sure.
Because I know, obviously, it had to have happened at some space and time.
Sure.
But the question was, who determined it and how was it determined?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I took a course with the musical director of the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, who is actually holding a class for people to study classical music and how it all came about, starting with Gregorian chants.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through the entire course, and at the end of the course, I went up to the conductor, and I said, oh, you know, I really appreciate the course and the historical background, but how was it that 440 hertz was determined to be the keynote music tuning standard
right.
for all Western orchestras?
Right.
And I figured, well, the answer is going to roll right off of the tip of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually had no idea.
Mm,
and I was rather stunned to learn that someone so involved in classical music or music in general really didn't know how it had happened. So that intrigued me, and I began to do a little bit of research on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But it really did not, turn into a book until some of my writings on the internet attracted the interest of John Woods, who is the top producer of the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Jesse James' Hidden Treasures and Secrets for the History Channel, and he encouraged me to explore the subject, which I did, and that's how the 440 Enigma came about.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating, fascinating. You know, my interest in this, actually started about 10 years ago, because I love classical music, Lauren, and I was listening to National Public Radio, and they had a piece by, I believe it was Dvorak's New World Symphony, that was recorded in Prague, Czechoslovakia in 1942, which was, of course, under Nazi Germany rule at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'd noticed about that piece, which was different than other New World symphonies I'd heard, is that it was very jarring. It was very it was unsettling. The tones were off somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered, and now after finding your work and doing some research, that tune actually was mandated by the Nazis as of 1940 to be played at the 440 hertz, and that's why it was this jarring kind of influence on it.
Well, that's very true. And not to skip ahead, but since we're sort of gravitating in that direction,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you a little bit more detail of how that actually came about.
Okay.
The whole idea of promoting 440 hertz as the keynote tuning standard for Western musical orchestras actually originated in the Third Reich and was pushed by Joseph Goebbels, who was their propaganda minister. But the actual foundation for that tuning standard, and this is a fascinating story because it's like a mystery that sort of came about and pieced it all together. I think the actual foundation of it began in 1896. In 1896, there's a musical instrument maker by the name of John C. Deegan. And John C. Deegan created percussion instruments for orchestras, for classical music orchestras, specifically things like the glockenspiel, the chimes,
mm-hmm.
Vibraphones, marimbas. These percussion instruments as a musical instrument mm-hmm. cannot be tuned once they are made.
Mm-hmm.
So once they are made, whatever tuning standard that they're created with stays with them for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
John C. Deegan decided on the 440 hertz tuning standard, and as it turns out, he had a deep relation with the Rockefeller interests and the American Federation of Musicians. The AFM, or American Federation of Musicians, received a large grant in 1910 to make 440 hertz the tuning standard for the Western musical world.
Hmm.
And just by coincidence, John C. Deegan in 1912 opened an enormous five-story, one-city-block musical manufacturing plant and facility in Chicago, which is still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Five stories tall, one-city block in volume, mm-hmm. that made nothing but musical instruments tuned to 440 hertz. My strong suspicion is that John C. Deegan received a substantial loan, or perhaps even an outright gift from the Rockefellers, because the proximity of the grant, the Rockefellers, to the American Federation musicians to the construction and completion of that building mm-hmm. was only 2 years. And since they both wanted 440 hertz as a tuning standard, it stands to reason that there was money involved in Rockefeller's going to the construction of that building to create orchestral musical instruments that had 440 hertz. Now, why is this all important? And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but to put the pieces of the puzzle together, what happened was when you have musical instruments and musical percussion instruments for classical music, 10 to 440 hertz, the rest of the orchestra has no recourse but to tune to that frequency. Mm-hmm. Because since percussion music instruments cannot be tuned, they're already tuned when they leave the factory, that means that all the tunable instruments, and that includes the horns, the woodwinds, the stringed instruments like the cellos and violins, mm-hmm. pianos, everything has to be tuned to that frequency. Mm-hmm. Since they are tunable, but the percussion instruments are not. Now, why is 440 hertz, why is that little bit of frequency so important? Well, our entire world, and when I say our world, I don't mean the Earth, I mean the entire universe, is based on frequency and vibration. Frequency and vibration are the structural elements that create matter. For instance, the tuning standard of 432 hertz, which, by the way, was quite popular up until the Nazis promoted 440 hertz,
right,
was actually based on what they call cosmic ratios or sacred number terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because those numbers are reflected in our actual cosmos. For instance, the diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles, or 5 times 432. The diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles, or 432,000 times 2. The precession of the zodiac equinoxes is 25,920 years, or 432 times 60. And there are 443,200 seconds in 12 hours. So we see this pattern of 432 repeated throughout the universe. It's a cosmic number, and it's a cosmic keystone number. It's fundamentally important to the well-being of our universe. But then the question becomes, well, if it's so important, why change to 440 hertz?
Well,
why that push? And the reason behind it is 440 skews our vibrational patterns of our mental, emotional, and spiritual energy in negative directions. And that's why it was pushed by the Third Reich.
Could you repeat that? That's the most profound statement I've ever heard about these tones. Could you repeat that, please, for my listeners?
Well, I'll try to remember it correctly.
Okay.
432 hertz basically replicates the pattern of the vibrational sacred numbers in our universe. And 440 hertz skews that ratio into a negative, detrimental pattern that negatively affects our mental, emotional, and spiritual perceptions and our energies. Therefore, it creates chaos, conflict, disharmony, rather than promoting something that reflects our proper place in the cosmos and the universe.
And if I may make a comment, Lauren, I if you look at what's happened after the Nazis adopted this 440 hertz in 1940, of course, it was World War II, then the United States adopted it internationally in 1950.
That's right.
The last century has been a war almost every other year.
Constant chaos.
Constant chaos, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the real irony, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
When Joseph Goebbels and the Third Reich proposed this to the British Standards Institutes,
right,
all of the British classical musical the musicians, all the British classical musicians and the French classical musicians were dead set against it. They wanted 432. Despite that fact, the Third Reich persuaded the British Standards Institute, over the objections of their own musicians, to change classical music to a 440 standard. And I find this extremely amazing and ironic, and it really it really says something when an organization will overrule musicians which play that music.
Well,
to go to a standard that they didn't want.
I'd like to say something, if I may, something out of this world, since that's the name of my show. I talk a lot about UFOs and extraterrestrial life and other planets. And I do know from my sources, including Corey Good and Randy Kramer, who were part of the American Secret Space Program, that the reptilians actually helped Nazi Germany with many of their technological achievements. And it wouldn't surprise me if they also helped Joseph Goebbels as well establish this 440 hertz standard to create negativity, to create disharmony, to make people agitated. Of course, after World War II, the United States brought over, as I mentioned before, up to 10,000 Nazis to establish our CIA and NASA, engineers and scientists. And no wonder we ended up with a very, very negative musical standard, which is now the world. And if you're trying to establish a planet based on love and gratitude, for example, and I know that there's a lot of people out there, including the wonderful people at the Emoto office, Emoto Peace Project, in Tokyo, working toward this end, it's hard to fight things when you don't even realize that the music throughout the West, especially, is corrupted by this negative standard.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, I would imagine a lot of people would initially reject the idea that the Third Reich actually had help from off-planet entities. Hmm. But the reality is, if you do the investigation, you'll find that the Third Reich actually used four different mediums to receive messages from the planet Aldebaran, the planet that's in the Aldebaran system.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that for construction of some of their most advanced weaponry. But
sure.
Getting ahead of myself.
Sure, yeah.
One thing I would like to really briefly comment on, and mm-hmm. that was that you mentioned the involvement of the Rockefeller Foundation. And, of
right.
course, I mentioned how they basically promoted and bankrolled the adoption of this non-sacred musical tuning standard that is affecting Western music throughout our world.
Right.
But in my book, I also detail countless things that the Rockefellers have done. If you look at one or two of them, they don't seem to be very sinister.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the pattern, mm-hmm. it's really amazing what they actually did. I don't know if we've got time to go into it. I really should send you a list.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's getting off the subject. But
well, no, it's actually on the subject, because if they intentionally created this 440 hertz as a world standard to propagate negativity, to encourage people to go to war, to be agitated, so that there's less love and less light on the planet, that's not good.
No, and, it's not good. And my research indicates that that's exactly what has happened.
You know, and this other, the Zika virus, which was mentioned at the top of our on the news, saying that it was in over 30 countries, people are being, kids, poor babies, are being born with these small brains and suffering from that, their parents. And I would think this would border, if nothing else, on criminal negligence. And since Bill Gates apparently funded the research and helped spread the mosquitoes, I think he's could be criminally liable too, along with the Rockefeller Foundation for the Zika virus. So for another show, but
another show, and probably for lawyers to sort out. But
right,
yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
No, it would be something for the International Court of Justice, Criminal Court of Justice in Holland to sort out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but the wider question, too, I wanted to ask you is that this 440 hertz standard, you know, people love music. I love music. A lot of people of all ages love music, especially young people. And the music that they listen to nowadays, is it all 440 hertz? And is it all basically helping people to be agitated, to be all riled up, to listen to this harmony? I'm interested about that.
I really think so. And,
yeah?
You know, there's nothing that prevents people from using a different tuning standard other than the fact that, 440 basically is what we all listen to. But
right,
there are computer programs that allow you to change the music on your CDs or LPs to a lower frequency. One of them is by a German company called Audacity. But again, it's basically getting ahead of myself. What I would like to say is, and like to describe to your listeners, is why that tuning standard, why it's so fundamentally important to have the correct tuning standard. As we've discussed, 432 hertz is a basic reflection of the cosmic patterns that are in the universe. It's connected to sacred ratios, sacred numerical ratios. And this was actually visually discovered by the science of cymatics, which was created in 1976 by two English researchers, John Stuart Reed and Eric Larson. Basically, they created something called a cymoscope, which allows us to see sound in motion. So we can actually vibrate substance and see how it responds. Now, the easiest way of doing that is, say, putting sand on a thin sheet of metal and running vibrations through that sheet to see what patterns form. The interesting thing is when you run 432 hertz through the cymoscope and watch how that affects matter, you see a beautiful triangular mandala forms. When you run 440 hertz, you see chaos.
Wow.
So that really illustrates visually what happens. Now, why is that important to human beings? Well, we are over 70% water. Our cells are over 70% water. And water vibrates and resonates to the frequencies that surround us.
Wow.
Frequencies that we not only hear with our ears, but feel and absorb with our bodies.
Wow.
Our cells have something called ion channels. These are electrical patterns that actually create the patterning of our cellular structures within our body. And in fact, there's an interesting book by a man called Beck called I Sing the Body Electric. And essentially what he describes is how our bodies are made of electrical vibrations. Subtle, very low energy, but they're always there and they're always present. What happens is that when we bathe our body by listening to music based on a keynote frequency that is non-sacred, which is 440 hertz, it skews the vibrational patterns of the ion channels, which thereby affects the cellular structure and the health of our body. And it's no accident that the Rockefellers are heavily involved in the pharmaceutical industry, including the mental pharmaceutical industry with antidepressants and stimulants and things like that.
Interesting.
Because, obviously, if you can create the need for the product, you're going to sell more of the product. Just as if you create something that promotes war, chaos, disharmony, and destruction, you're going to create more need for
military weapons.
Exactly, which they're also into.
So, fascinating.
That is the linkage, and that is the reason why 432 hertz is so extremely important. And having a music standard based on 440, it's actually quite destructive to our mental, psychological, and spiritual health.
I took the liberty of recording a segment of it's called 440 hertz versus 432 hertz. And I'll ask my wonderful sound engineer Eric if we could play that now. And it's you have to wait 56 almost a minute before the first one is the 432, and the second is the 440. But I want you to listen carefully. It starts, Eric, if you'd like to go ahead and play that, and it'll start in about 56 seconds. There it is. That's the 432 natural hertz, and in a minute it will play the 440. Okay, this is the 440 now. A little bit agitating. The differences are subtle but very profound. So for all the young people in the world listening to pop music out of Hollywood, unwittingly they're listening to music which is agitating them, keeping them angry and in a state of disharmony, which helps create the need for conflict, helps create conflict in the world, negativity, which creates the need for weapons, so countries have to defend themselves. And it's fascinating what you've said there, Lauren.
It also creates the need for pharmacological medicines to deal with all of that too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What I wanted to also go into very briefly is how that frequency of 440 began to permeate the Western world, but especially the United States. What happened was, not only, you know, people would think initially, well, if it's only orchestral music and it's only symphonic music that is going to be tuned to that standard, the right. only people who are going to hear it and be affected by it are people who go to classical music concerts,
right.
which initially was true. But what ended up happening was radio came into being, and because radio always needed musical representation, mm-hmm. Along with the various other programming,
right.
That music was broadcast throughout the United States on the 440 hertz basis. Plus, the Deegan, and this is the two most pernicious things I found in my research.
Mm-hmm.
The Deegan Musical Instrument Company, and as I said, that building is still there in Chicago right now. The Deegan Musical Instrument Company created something called the Deegan Carillon system. Now, the Deegan Carillons were utterly enormous chime carillons that were over 20 feet tall.
Wow.
They were enormous structures, and they were connected with clocks, and these clocks were connected usually to large churches in major metropolitan areas. These carillons were sold throughout the United States, and what would happen is that specific times of day, normally noon and 6 p.m., these carillons would ring out throughout the land and vibrate their musical message at 440 hertz throughout America. And then, wow. I mean, so you've got this happening twice a day throughout the United States, these enormous carillons bathing metropolitan areas in this frequency and vibration. Then NBC started something on the NBC radio network called the NBC Chimes, which was NBC, you know.
Right, right, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah, I remember
but
that.
But those chimes were created by the Deegan Musical Instrument Company, and they all vibrated at 440 hertz.
Amazing. What year was that?
They started at the very beginning of the radio era, I believe. They began using it around 1932, and they continued using that up into the 50s.
Wow. And, of course, during that time we had World War II. Lots of conflicts around the world. Much of the 20th century was one war after the other.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
and of course we're still mired in the Middle East, and
yeah,
you know, yeah. there's still conflicts around the globe.
Sure. Right. Exactly. Well, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying this conversation with you, Lauren, because it's something I didn't know anything about. I guess the next logical question is, what can we do to change it? What can we do to create a beautiful world, one that lives in love and harmony and peace, by adopting the 432 standard? How can we change it? How can we, the citizens of the world, change this?
Well, I suppose there are several ways. One is if you play a musical instrument and it's tunable,
right?
Like a guitar, for instance, which is very popular,
mm-hmm.
you can buy tuning forks. Whether electronic or the standard metal ones that mm-hmm. are tuned to 432
mm-hmm.
hertz,
mm-hmm.
and you just, you know, play your own music at that frequency. Mm-hmm. As far as playing back recorded music, as I said, there is a company in Germany called Audacity that allows you to change the pitch of all of your CDs by using your computer to 432 hertz, so you can actually successfully change the pitch of everything that you have that's pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways of doing this, and if anyone wants to write directly to me, I'd be happy to supply them with a list of things that they can do.
Okay.
They can write to lcvincent888@gmail.com.
Okay.
I'll be happy to answer any correspondence and provide them with further information about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, lcvincent888@gmail.com, and that will enable me to answer any questions they may have about it. But yeah, you know, as far as using percussion instruments that are already tuned to 440 hertz, basically I wouldn't use them because they're just going to perpetuate that. I think it's what it's really going to require is a fundamental shift of people basically demanding that tuning standard be changed. And we're going to run into lots of opposition to do it because, you know, now we have, about 100 years of,
right.
of Western music that has been basically solidified in that tuning frequency, but I think it's utterly essential that we make the change. And
well,
the only way that's going to happen is by people demanding that the frequency does change.
Well, two things real quick, Lauren. And the first is that as you've been speaking, it's there's this beautiful white angelic light that's come into the studio here. And I always know when they're here because the light changes. It's much brighter.
Really?
Yeah, it's beautiful right now. It's very nice in the studio. And they're all here clapping for you. There's a whole bunch of angels clapping for you. Outside, it's a cloudy day in Seattle. I know the sun's out there somewhere, but you can't see it. But,
well, the sun's out here where I am.
Oh, okay. Okay, good, good. Well, but it's beautiful inside the studio. We have a lot of this angelic light. And, of course, the purpose of my show is to raise consciousness and create a better and happier planet. And I can't think of a better person to have on today than you and your work to educate people. As that the music that, you know, let's say you've had a long, hard day, okay, and you get home and you turn on some music. If it's at the 440 hertz standard, you're going to be end up getting agitated. You're not going to be relaxed. You're not going to have that calming effect that you may like from your music. So I think it's kind of like with genetically modified foods, too. You demand from Sony and other music vendors around the world that they produce music on the 432 hertz scale, and perhaps music should be labeled, labeled whether it's 440 hertz or 432 hertz around the world.
That is an excellent idea.
Just like GMO foods, which are mm-hmm. proven to be detrimental to people's health, that people are demanding. You know, for example, just real quick, this is a little bit off to the side. In Europe, consumers there demanded that Coke and other soft drinks from the United States be produced without genetically modified corn. So genetically modified corn is not used in Europe, banned. And it was done because of the of consumers. And consumers now that people, I hope, will get, you know, become aware of this issue, that they will ask Sony and other music producers in the United States and around the world to produce music on the 432 hertz scale, not the 440.
I hope that happens. And
yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But one thing I would like to emphasize, and that is this, the real evil of 440 hertz mm-hmm. is the fact that a person could be listening to the most beautiful symphonic orchestra in the world or
right.
the most joyous rock and roll or however you want to,
sure.
whatever genre of music mm-hmm. you wish to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And you consciously, your mind is truly enjoying it. And your emotions are really enjoying it,
right.
and you're really into that music, but subconsciously, you're actually being subverted, and you're actually damaging not only your cellular structure, but your mental apparatus and your spiritual reality. And that's the true evil of it, because it bypasses conscious recognition.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, let's say I go out and buy a CD today of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which is a beautiful symphony,
right.
or Ode to Joy, which was Dr. Masaru Emoto's one of his favorite tunes as well. Is it all 440 hertz here in the United States and around the world, or is there a choice?
It is.
Do they give It is?
Yeah. If it's in the Western world, it's going to be. And
okay.
The only way you know that it isn't is if it's specifically labeled otherwise.
I see.
So if it isn't labeled otherwise, you have to assume it's going to be at 440.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a conundrum that we face, especially if you're a music lover like I am and like you are.
Right.
Because I love listening to music.
Right.
But I also realize that if I don't change it, I'm damaging myself.
That is really amazing. Now, I did some search on the internet yesterday before my computer crashed, and I found John Lennon's Imagine 432 hertz scale. And I played that. I'd like to play that again at the end of this hour as well, for a little bit. But I guess you just have to look for it. I know.
Yeah, you can find it, but you do have to look for it.
Right.
But you know, as you said, it probably won't happen until people start making a public demanding it from the music companies as well as the musicians.
Right. Well, we have a lot of consumer power all over the world, and eventually, if the people lead, eventually the leaders, I think, will follow. So, and that goes with corporations and products as well. If people say that they don't want the 440 hertz scale, then eventually the companies will find out, and they'll change. Much like with GMO foods, or even with Bill Gates' Microsoft Windows 10 product, which is people don't like it. 8 was a disaster. And a lot of people are moving to other systems because of that. But, I wanted to go over a couple more things, too, with you.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned that we could easily go into is Dr. Emoto.
Okay.
Because I did research on his research.
Right.
Did you ever see that movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, by any chance?
Sure did. I sure did.
Well, you know, obviously that movie deals with Dr. Emoto's work.
Right.
Which is how thoughts affect the formation of water crystals.
That's right.
Well, basically what he's really showing is that thoughts are energy, and energy is frequency and vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if, I'm backtracking slightly. Mm-hmm. There were two physicists. One was Niels Bohr, and the other was Werner Heisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that their own preconceptions, their own the way of their doing their physics research, they discovered that their thoughts or projected expectations actually affected the outcome of their physics experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what they ended up getting what they were expecting, and they could actually change the results of their experiments by changing their expectations.
Mm.
So what that actually told them was that the power of their thought or their frequency patterns affected physical reality eventually.
Wow.
Well, and what that means to us and to the average person is that if our projected thoughts end up creating our physical reality, then if our projected thoughts are subconsciously based around chaos, war, destruction, disharmony, disunity, that's what we end up getting.
That's true.
That's why 432 hertz versus 440 is so critically important, because it works on the subconscious mind, but the subconscious mind is 90% of our mental capacity.
Right.
Therefore, 90% of our mental capacity currently is being programmed through chaos and destruction.
And negativity.
Through music.
And negativity. And disharmony.
Negativity.
Mm-hmm. And this is from a wider question. I talk about a lot of this on my program, but in my opinion, much of the world has come under the influence of a very negative species called the reptilians, and they feed off negativity and war. This is what influenced the Nazis, which ultimately influenced the United States, which ultimately influenced a world standard of 440 hertz, which is a world standard of negativity in music.
You got it exactly.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, and I know that, and speaking with my many listeners around the world, most people in this world, they want peace and harmony. They want to live in harmony. They want to create a beautiful planet, and they know that love is the most important force in the universe. And people are sick and tired of war. I am.
Yeah. Absolutely true. And it's a universal constant. You can go into any society. You can even go into North Korea.
Right.
Most of the people that you would talk to, the average person, they don't want war.
Sure.
They want to be left alone.
Absolutely.
They want peace and harmony. They want to have a good family life. You know, that's universal.
There was a documentary, a travel documentary of all things, on Iran 2 years ago. I watched on, and in that documentary, they interviewed, you know, day-to-day citizens in Tehran and in Iran. They all wanted peace and harmony. They wanted peaceful relations with the United States. They didn't want a war. But then you turn on major mass media here in the United States, and all you get is conflict. All this drummed-up conflict. And then they play their music at 440 hertz to rile people up even more, and they don't even know it because it's subconscious.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so evil.
Mm-hmm.
Because it bypasses our conscious sensors.
Now, one thing, this is something when I start my new television show, it'll be nice to have because I'll be able to show charts on it. And I wanted to tell you that my first television show will have Michiko Hayashi of the wonderful Emoto Peace Project coming to us live from Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working out the details of that. We hope to do some recording on that this week and then play it, but I'll let everyone know when it will be played. The fascinating thing, I've got a chakra frequency chart of third dimension chakras. And at the very top, Lauren, it says here the crown chakra vibrates at 432 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this is why the 440 hertz messes up the chakras. It creates disharmony because it doesn't align with any of these other chakras at all. And looking at the different chakras and different hertz.
That's completely true.
You've hit the
whole reason why the keynote is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the keynote is incorrect, all the notes above and below it are going to be skewed
wrong.
Interesting. And that will also affect our chakras,
right,
which are our energy centers.
I think personally, if you'd like to create a better planet based on love and gratitude and harmony using Dr. Emoto's wonderful work, then I think there should be a worldwide boycott of music at the 440 hertz scale until this is rectified. It should be, because this was foisted upon the American public, the world, thanks to the Nazis in 1940 and in 1950.
And thanks to the Rockefellers.
Thanks to the Rockefellers.
Mm-hmm.
During the last century. And people realize that they're getting subconsciously programmed into agitation and negativity. I don't think they want it, you know, consciously. Why would anyone want war? Negativity, you know?
Can't think of any good reason.
Right. Who wants to support the pharmaceutical big pharma in the United States and elsewhere when all they do is feed off people's depression? And the drugs never work anyway. They're
short-term fixes with terrible lasting effects.
Absolutely. 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 Well, this is a subject that... once again, I had no idea about. There was some things I ran across, too, on the web about the 528 frequency in John Lennon. Do you know much about that? I don't, but I saw references to that.
I know that Dr. Leonard Horowitz is a great proponent of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily negate the 432 hertz,
sure.
But it's actually very complementary if you do the research. And, in fact, it's in my book. I have several pages on Dr. Horowitz's research.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. One thing I've seen references to, and I don't know much about it, but I'd love to hear your answers, is the Solfeggio scale. Did I pronounce that correct?
Solfeggio.
Solfeggio, yeah. Could you please explain that a little bit to my listeners? Because I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
As I understand it, it's based on the Fibonacci progression. The Solfeggio scale basically replicates the harmonics of the Fibonacci series of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And because it does that, it's basically attuned to the cosmic sacred numbers of the universe.
Wow.
So it's something that it essentially embodies the concepts we've been discussing. That is something that's properly harmonious and rooted in the natural ratios and harmonics that we find in the universe, whether we're looking at the construction of a seashell or a nautilus scale to the spiral arms of a galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
The interesting thing about music, you know, people don't really think about it, but Pythagoras said that music is geometry solidified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when you think about that, because when you look at architecture, the most pleasing architecture actually embodies the ratios, the sacred cosmic number ratios that we're talking about. And that's why architecture that embodies those ratios is the most harmonious to our eyesight, because we haven't, you know, the human being has an intuitive knowledge of what's right and what's wrong.
True.
And the whole science of feng shui, which is the art of placement within the environment,
mm-hmm.
it's again, it's based on sacred numbers, cosmic ratios, cosmic harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And when you violate those principles, you essentially set up a structure within your own living environment that works against your best interest. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you use feng shui principles, mm-hmm. again, based on sacred numbers and sacred harmonic ratios,
mm-hmm.
you're creating a living environment, both internally and externally, that amplifies the best of your human nature.
Hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating.
It's all related. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's all.
You know, whether it's light, sound, music,
mm-hmm.
Physical objects, it's all related
mm-hmm.
in sacred number.
Well, it's pretty amazing. This is a quote I would like to read from Nikola Tesla. Quote, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration.
Absolutely true.
And,
in fact, mm-hmm. You know, Nikola Tesla has to be one of my major heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And to go along with that, Edgar Cayce, who I'm sure you know, says sound is the medicine of the future.
Wow, fascinating.
And then there was a metaphysician by the name of Rudolf Steiner who was, he was in Germany in the 1920s and was viciously suppressed by the Nazi government.
Wow.
And he said, music based on 432 hertz will support humanity on its way towards spiritual freedom.
Wow.
The inner ear of the human being is built on it.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Here's another quote I'd like to read from Confucius.
Sure.
Quote, if one should desire to know whether a kingdom is well governed, if its morals are good or bad, the quality of its music will furnish the answer.
Absolutely.
And if that's a litmus test for the United States, if I may say so, if we don't have good music, then the rest of society, it fosters a very kind of negative environment.
Hmm. Which actually brings us almost full circle to the music industry that currently exists throughout the world and in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done much research on the Illuminati influence upon it?
I haven't, but I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
Well, this could be the subject of a future show, but
okay.
if you do a YouTube search,
right,
and just look under Illuminati symbolism with the popular music,
mm-hmm.
you will see how certain artists have been heavily promoted, and these same artists constantly use Illuminati symbols in their musical presentations,
mm-hmm.
on video, album covers,
wow.
their dress,
wow.
et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
And the reason that that's important is that the Illuminati you know, anyone interested in finding out who they are, they can use the internet to do that. But the Illuminati basically have corrupted our media to the extent that they're promoting and pushing negative imagery and symbolisms
mm-hmm.
that affect everyone, again, subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a great example of their influence in our society can be seen at the 2012 Olympic Games in England.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the introduction pageantry as well as the ending pageantry, which again is available on YouTube and on the internet, you can see countless symbols that are used to portray a negative future for mankind.
Wow.
Or if you go into, you probably already know this, but very briefly, if you go into the Denver airport and see the murals on the walls of the Denver airport, it's almost a horror show. You can't believe that they're even visible to the public if you look at it. It's so negative. But again, it's all Illuminati Masonic symbolism.
I've heard somewhere that the Illuminati, they always like to give warnings to the public or to the
world.
They
do. The principle is called the revelation of the method, and it's basically their ethical foundation, if you want to put it in the ironic term. Mm-hmm. The revelation of the method means that they have to warn the public what they're about to do.
I see.
But they only can do it through symbolism.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I don't want to leave my show on a negative note, my friend, because I'd like to give a positive thing. And the positive thing I'd like to give everyone is that, as many people probably already know, I do a lot of work with the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. They have a wonderful project which distributes children's books to the kids around the world. And one of the beautiful things is that they teach children between the ages of 3 and 12 the valuable lessons of love and gratitude. And they have these beautiful books that teach these kids these lessons. And the hope is that if you teach kids the valuable lessons of love and gratitude between ages 3 and 12, by the time they get the young adults, they're not going to want to go off and fight in some Middle Eastern war that lasts for 50 years or engage in domestic violence or do crimes, because they'll want to learn to live with each other in a much more harmonious way. And for those of you who are interested in the Emoto Peace Project, please visit their website at www.emotopeaceproject.net. That's E-M-O-T-O peaceproject.net. I also distribute the books, and we'll be giving a presentation on them next month when I'm out in Ocean Shores, Washington, March 4th and 5th. But there are things we can do. Most of the people I think in the world want peace, Lauren. They don't want to live in disharmony. And one of the interesting things is, I had a 2 years ago, I had a wonderful astrologer from New York City named Susan Miller on my show. And one thing that stuck in my mind ever since her interview was that we live in a time of truth, and things that are true become even more self-evident now, and those that are false will become, also people will realize the negativity and falsity, that they are false, and they'll fall by the wayside. And I think the 440 hertz standard in the United States and elsewhere in the world is one of those falsehoods which should be removed, because most people do want to live in harmony, and they'd like to have a peaceful, harmonious planet.
I agree. And mm-hmm. to promote that peace and harmony, we have to change mm-hmm. our tuning system for our Western orchestral music and for music in general.
Right, right, right. There is 432 music available on the web. You can pick it up there. But because most of the music sold here, at least in the United States, is on the 440 standard, you probably wouldn't be good to buy any CDs, because they're all on the other scale, which is negativity. We've got about 2 minutes left before we have to go off air. But I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. 1 week from today, we'll be interviewing Michael Tellinger, the author of a fascinating book called Slave Species. He'll be coming in to us live from South Africa at the 2 o'clock hour. And Lauren, we've got some time left. I'd like for you to wrap up the show. We've got about 30 seconds, or 1 minute, actually. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Ted. I just want to have people become aware that the music that they listen to can have a subconscious effect upon their emotional and physical health, mm-hmm. Separate from their conscious perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great many reference works that discuss the differences between 440 and 432. Mine is one of them, the 440 Enigma, which is available on Amazon. But there are many others, and there are many other articles that have been written about 440. If anyone would like a list of those articles, then there are probably 30 or 40 of them. Just drop me a note or a line at lcvincent888@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send you my list. I'll also be happy to send you a list of ways of changing the music you listen to at 432 hertz.
Right.
Because there are several ways of doing that.
Wonderful.
And that will promote your peace and well-being and harmony.
Thank you
and
so much.
Help our planet.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Lauren. It's been a lot of fun. This is John Lennon, played at the 432 hertz scale.
No hell below us. only sky.